We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Yeah, so, sweet revenge game, huh? Me, woo! Them dudes are so pissed about the way they, the way Jokic took out Markieff Morris. They came in on a house of fire tonight and got the shit beat out of them. Listen, my takeaway from this game is if Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero played, we would have won 161 to 120. Take me out, brass. I am Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Welcome to the Miami Heat Beat post-game show, Hangover Time. If you're watching on Twitch, why the fuck are you watching a post-game show after that? You should be drinking yourself to sleep. If you're watching the replay on YouTube, why the fuck are you – why would you want to relive this shit? Like, I love when, like, Eric Reed is like, if you want to catch the replay tomorrow, bitch, no! Mm-mm. No! I never want to see this shit again!
If you missed it
about?
Or if you just
want to
see it again.
Yeah, if you missed it, you just – no, no! Nobody wants to see that again. Erase it from the archives. Fucking Bones Highland. Fuck out my damn face. Anyway, Brass. Oh, look, what the fuck?
It's like a cursed image.
Froze.
Froze right at the right time.
Put Romeo behind him.
Let's find out. I guess let's find out what everybody's drinking. Oh, shit. Let's find out what everybody's drinking, or in Christian's case, what he's sniffing. It's just stuck.
Christian's like that meme, but instead of, but like he's this guy roofies your girl. What are you gonna do about it? That's what he looks like.
He looks like I'm pussy. No,
I'm pussy.
Siobhan, what are you drinking? And who's your well, it's not player of the game. Who's your bum of the game?
Oh, so this is ginger ale and some Smirnoff 100. And I wasn't prepared for that question, but off the top, I'm going to say Duncan.
I think,
yeah,
I think that's gonna be everybody's bum. I mean, I don't know who else you go through. Kenny, I'm drinking water because I'm not wasting any of my good liquor on this shit. Kenny, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm finishing up the Tito's and Sprite. And I'm going out of town. I'll come back with something else. But I like this, so I might not come back with something else. I might get this shit again.
That's my shit.
My bum of the game? I'll go with Bones Highland because he's typically a bum. And today, I just don't know what happened. I look pre-show. He was shooting 36% from the field, just to give context to tonight's game.
Oh, you want context?
So, yeah. Bones Highland.
You want context? J-Mac Schwartz tweeted this out tonight. This is Bones Highland's last six games.
Jesus Christ. Save the right.
This is a guy
who we got another fucking Malik Monk on our hands.
They call him Logo Bones after tonight because he was hitting shots from 35 feet. But listen, Brass, what are you drinking tonight, and who's your bum of the night?
I'm just drinking a margarita tonight. Going a little easy from the show a couple nights ago. Oh. Yesterday was not great for me. It was worth it though. I had fun. I don't know. My bum of the game. Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna be basic. Duncan was pretty super disappointing, but I mean, it's not the only reason we lost. But you know, when he's bombs away like that, and it's just and nothing is hitting. What did he hit? How many? Did
one
he
for nine. Like,
one for nine.
One.
One for more nine. Than you.
That's not great. But also, like, I know we're down. Obviously we're down some our best players right now. But like, fuck, man. Like, get off the floor if you can't score like that. I mean, that's not great. Yeah. That's not great.
Frankie, what are you drinking, and who is your bum of the night?
I am drinking a Tito's and lime, and I would say my bum of the night is Duncan. That's a lot of minutes for somebody to score 3 points on nine shots. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
First half, Bam wasn't too great either.
No, I mean, they were just competing for who was worse the whole first half.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, down 20, Bam decides to wake up. And honestly, a lot of people are like, oh, wow, you know, Bam just stat padding. I don't think it was stat padding. I think he just finally realized where he could get his shot. And he was taking shots in the first half. He's just missing everything. But he was also, then he started getting to his spots. Siobhan, I know you're missing your two best scorers. They lost by nine, but they really lost by like 18. Like that nine point.
Yes.
They lost by double digits. You're missing your two best scorers, your two best offensive players, your best player, your best perimeter defender. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jimmy not being there had something to do with the mind-numbing bullshit of how many times Jokic had a fucking point guard on him in the post? Because I can't explain that shit. Like, that's the shit that Duncan, Bam, I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. The nonsense switching that we thought was gone without the Nuns and the Dragics of the world. You didn't have a hero to blame defensively tonight on the perimeter. Why are we still doing this switching shit where Kyle Lowry's halfway up Jokic's ass as he lays a fucking ball in another finger roll?
Yeah, they've been – so, like, the first four or five games, maybe they weren't doing it. But Leif tweeted, like, when did it start? For me, I remember it being noticeable in the Boston game. And then, like, that whole West Coast trip, the first, like, eight possessions of the Clippers game, it was a switch or sending two to the ball at the, like, near half court. We did it a ton against Utah, but we talked about the fact that they just didn't look to get it to Rudy over there. Yep, start off over Duncan. I think he got it. I don't think Jimmy not being there. Okay, so Jimmy not being there is the reason why I ended up being a baby on Jokic, but he's not. They still would have done the same, like, mind-numbing switching bullshit that they have been doing because they've been doing it with Jimmy out there. I don't know why it is. Putting Bam on the perimeter, I don't know if that's better or worse for his knees, but it's worse for the overall offense. I was on my computer. I looked up. I looked back down. And both times that I looked up, the play was ending in the exact same thing with a Jokic layup over Gabe. And why? It's not helpful. It's not working. It's incredible. Like, it's hurting everything that they're trying to do. I really, really want them to go away from it. It's asinine to me at this point.
Tommy in the chat comment. Says, Alf, you still on that bullshit about Robinson? Strauss, I don't know who that is, is a million times better than him. A little hyperbole there. I don't know if he's a million. I don't even know how much a billion is.
Maybe a million.
When are we going to talk about Bam being overpaid? Tommy, like, just shut the fuck up. Like,
thanks for tuning in, but what the fuck are you talking about?
God damn, bro. Okay, anyway, go. I mean, what are we doing? Like, what? Okay, anyway. Listen, I understand the Robinson frustration over the course of the season. I will still say, I mean, I think after tonight, he's got to be like 31, 32% from three. that is not good enough. He is top 10 in makes, and like we can't talk about his defense much tonight, can he? Like, I mean, I don't think he was the problem defensively, but he wasn't stopping anybody from three. He wasn't closing out. he was caught out of position way too many times. A lot of them are caught out of position, right? But you can make mistakes if you give something on the other end. 1 for 9 from three, and there's too many of these games happening. I still think he's going to turn it around because, I mean, I got two seasons worth of data compared to 20 games. But, like, I mean, he killed you tonight.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure if I've said this on air before or not. Maybe I said it in the pregame. I honestly don't remember. But to this day, I'm still not mad at Duncan for not making shots. It's how he just looks completely lost and disinterested when his shot's not falling. He gave us good defense earlier in the season, and now he's just – he seemingly doesn't care anymore. He's lost. I don't know what it is, but – he has to do something to make – like, okay, he went 1 for 9. That's cool. They're hunting you on defense. Do what you can. Whatever, you can be cool. But if the rebound is in front of your fucking face, put your hands up and grab it. He's looking at rebounds passed by, and they're getting second-chance points. He's not making the right rotations. He's just – I don't know. Like, miss the shots, miss all the shots you want, that's fine. I understand slumps. I understand struggling. But this other shit, he's just – there's just no effort anywhere else because he's missing, and that's what's been frustrating me about Duncan.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, tonight you saw him get in the lane a couple times and kick out to shooters. He had a couple nice assists. I mean, he had 3 assists tonight, and they were all like off of dribble drives into the lane, kicking out to a shooter, interior pass in the middle, Frankie, like doing other things when his shot wasn't falling. But that came so few and far between. Like outside of that, it was just brick after fucking brick after fucking brick. And I don't think he's the reason they lost this game. I think Kenny said that. But it's starting to get concerning because I don't know how much you take away from this one game. Like, these motherfuckers shot 52% from three, and they're the 27th best shooting, best three-point shooting team in the league. Like, outlier performances all over the floor, but the Duncan shit's starting to become a concern.
Kenny did a good mention something important there, that it's when his shot's not falling that he's not doing anything else. He's not rebounding. He contributes a couple plays because the defense still overreacts to him sometimes. But, you know, the fact that he can't get
2 rebounds
get
charges, in 29 get minutes,
enough deflections. He plays small defensively, even though he's like 6'7", 6'8". And you don't feel his presence in a positive mindset. He's too easy to attack. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but the switching doesn't help any of them because it's so easy to get whatever they want. I don't know why they switch so much. This is a habit of Spo's teams. They find some success doing something and they stick to it for years, for a while. The same thing with the Big Three when
for
they
years.
The blitzing. Even though when they were old. They over switch now with Bam because Bam can guard those guys, but then it leaves the backside weak. I don't understand why they do that at will, especially when you put Deadman in the game. They show they can defend on a drop pretty well, and I think Bam is still way better drop defender than Deadman, even though Deadman's really good. I don't get it. I don't get what they do sometimes. But my biggest concerns is when Duncan's having these kind of games, it's not only that they Heat struggle to score, but they still look for him. They're still running a lot of sets for him. They're still running early dribble handoffs for him. And I don't get that. Like, why are you trying to get so focused on and hell strung on getting him going? They had a little 8-0 run, and then they go and just run a dribble handoff for him. They miss a shot, and then the Nuggets come back and score 7 in a row. And it's like, why? What's the focus here? Why? Duncan's a really good shooter historically, but he's not getting it going. And you're just making him like you're just running offense for him, putting pressure on when the play's on his.
And I want to add to Frankie's point actually, because we've seen how this team looks when Bam gets going. So I'm not sure why they don't try that out instead of forcing it to Duncan. I just don't get it. They can run some stuff for Bam, have Kyle screen for Bam, which Kyle is great at. There's things they can do to stop forcing it to Duncan, and they just don't for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's a lot of my beef with Duncan, I have that very same amount of beef with Spo, from not running things for Bam to also trying to force feed Duncan when Fetch clearly isn't working. Like, Fetch isn't happening right now. Stop trying to make Fetch work. And yeah, like, the team looks good with Bam is like the center and is guy going, and then is able to spray and do some other things. For whatever reason, like, Duncan screening for Bam is still a good thing. They ran Max off some stuff that he got a backdoor on. Like, they have other things that they can do, and they just will not. So I have an equal amount of pissivity for Duncan, but I really do have a lot for Spo also.
That's an SAT word.
It is.
And it'll probably work better if they go to Bam too, because Bam is such a good passer. So, yeah, if you force the defense to collapse on Bam, he'll make the right play rather than Duncan not having many other options if they collapse on him. So at this point, I just don't get it. Spo, I think, is the best coach in the NBA, but he's just so stubborn. It's frustrating.
I just don't think he's a good offensive coach. Like, I don't think he's...
Whoa! Yeah, that's a fair point.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's a fair point.
I've never thought he's been a
great. That's a fair point. I'm not sure if I 100% agree with it, but he is more of a better defensive coach.
I'm not saying he's a bad offensive coach. He's not a great offensive
coach. He's not a creative offensive
coach. He's not super creative.
Can I push back on that?
Yes, because LeBron gets pick and rolls and layups. Yes. Okay,
how many times have they had good offenses post LeBron?
Yeah, no. Well, they had a top seven
with bad players
in the finals, right? Like, they haven't had. I think you guys are totally right in a lot of what you say, but also they don't have a dude other than Jimmy who can break down a defense with dribble penetration. That's not on Spo. So and I agree with a lot of like our criticisms of Eric, and I've made them.
She does look cute.
But
he's blessing.
I think the warm light. But what he does, I'm stuck in traffic. It's the red lights of the cars in front of me. But I think what he's innovated on offense has been used throughout the league. The Warriors run a really similar thing of what Miami does with a lot of their handoffs and ball screens and stuff like that, their inverted stuff. Like, that's all, like, truly, like, Eric taking what D'Antoni did and taking it to another level. So, while Frankie, I agree with a lot of what you said, I also think that, like, he doesn't have the personnel that maximizes his offensive mind. Like, they only have...
So you have to be creative and do something different. That's what I mean by creative.
They are. I think that they run... I think it's not great. And, like, I think they're still a top they're still a good offense, like in terms of like the raw numbers. I agree with you guys. It's flawed, and their half court offense like sucks ass. But it's hard to have a half court offense when Duncan's missing. How many open threes did he miss today? Right, like when he's
at least five wide open.
Like why wide ass open? Kyle's been struggling with his shooting. A guy who's been historically a good shooter, who's getting the looks that he's always gotten. So you know, I think to an extent, you guys are right, but also you know, we have to look at like what he has, and like it was 2 years ago that he had a top 10 offense with really like a limited cast of guys.
Yeah, that's fair. My thing is more so the creativity, like Siobhan said. But Kenny brought up the screening for Bam. Like the thing about when you screen for Duncan, if you leave Duncan open, he's a shooter. If he misses, it's a long rebound. They're pushing the ball and they're getting a layup out of it. And as we've seen this season, Duncan struggles. He's a streaky shooter. He'll get it going and get to his 40% level. I still believe he's going to – like Alf says, I still believe there's too much of a sample size for him not to have a hotter water will rise. But when it comes to like screening for Bam, creating easy looks for these guys, if you screen for Bam inside, he's getting a dunk. If they overplay, he's getting the layup for somebody else. He's kicking it out for shooters. There's just more positive outcomes if you're screening and creating mismatches inside for your better players.
And to Frankie's point, and to G's point, in a sense, it is true that they don't have many guys who can just put their head down and get to the basket whenever they want to and create things. But it is on Spo to recognize that and find different ways to get the ball in the spots he wants it to get to. And so I see both sides completely, but I am leaning more towards Frankie on this one.
Did Kenny just – there's very fine people on both sides?
No, I mean, it's not an absolute. It's probably somewhere closer to the middle than any extreme.
I agree.
I think one of the things I feel like at the beginning of the year we just saw – Kyle run the offense a lot more than we've been seeing lately. And you would have thought this would have been the game because there's no Tyler or Jimmy to take the ball out of his hands. But there was a lot of times Bam had the ball. PJ Tucker was running the offense a couple of times. A lot of Gabe, a lot of Struce, Duncan, and all that's fine and good. But like this offense was humming and running more smoothly. And even with Duncan hitting threes or not hitting threes, When Kyle had the ball in his hands more and was controlling the game more, to me, the offense was running smoother because it was more instinctual and it was less about getting Duncan open. Duncan was getting shots off of regular offense, not off of everybody get Duncan open. And honestly, the gravity thing still works if he's just standing over there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to run him around 15 screens. You could work with other guys. But let's go ahead and put a spotlight on the Denver fucking Nuggets and find out who kicked our ass.
They kicked our ass.
Siobhan, who kicked our ass tonight?
Our defense kicked our ass tonight.
Yes.
Oh, we're supposed to highlight Denver. Okay. Bones kicked our ass tonight.
Fucking Bones Highland. Kenny, who kicked our ass tonight?
I'll have a mixture of Eric Spoelstra and Nikola Jokic. Because like Siobhan was saying before, like if the switching isn't working, just like slow it down a little bit.
But did anybody else notice that they stopped the switching so much in the second half and Bam stuck to Jokic like glue?
Yes.
Yeah, and it worked out.
And the Heat outscored them by 9. Well, let's take away some of the other bullshit. Some of the bullshit at the end of the game. But they outscored them. If you take away some, like the last 5 Gabe Vincent threes, they outscored them by like 8 points in the second half. It was that second quarter when Jokic had a 5'5" guy on his butt the whole time that they were killing them. But go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the second half, I can't blame the Heat too much. The Nuggets just couldn't miss. He were executing. It's just the Nuggets. Just, I don't know what was going on.
Jokic, and he was limiting what Jokic could do. But then at that point, now you just got a bunch of shooters named Bones Highland getting fucking hot. Fucking Bones Highland. Anyway, Brass, who kicked our ass tonight?
I mean, just fucking outlier stats. Stats. Yeah, just like that. It just nonsense. I mean, we've seen this happen. Yeah, we've seen this happen a lot of times, and it's frustrating. Also, the Jokic brothers did not kick our ass tonight.
Oh, go go!
Yeah, fuck them.
They were, you know what?
That was a fun build up to nothing.
I went to the game with Christian Hernandez. We were looking for those dudes. They were hiding. I was there with Aaron and Cortez.
I was and there Hedger with found Hernandez. Them.
Couldn't find them. Hiding. Cowards, as Cortez would say. Cowards. I was there with Trappy Baby, Alex Toledo. Couldn't find them.
They I don't believe in row. Those guys at all,
the
man. Juices.
They were in the front row taking pictures with Heat fans. Now, honestly, if you were a Heat fan that took
they?
A fucking picture yeah. with the Jokic brothers, yeah. you're a fucking...
Oh, no, oh yeah, you no, gotta yeah. be blacklisted.
Yeah, but no, nah, those royalties, like, those ain't Heat fans. Those are just rich, bored people.
Yeah, they gotta yeah. be. Fucking... Anyway, Al, have some fucking pride. We had... We're doing a segment, G. Hold on.
Yeah, shut up, G. Jesus.
Frankie, who drive kicked your fucking our ass
car. Right? This was a group effort by the Nuggets bench. Bones Highland... 19 points, 6 of 9 shooting, not nice.
That fucking Campazzo.
Campazzo, 4 of 7 shooting. Aaron Gordon went 2 of 4 from three. Anytime Aaron Gordon hits more than one three, you're not gonna win the game because he's never doing that shit. It's like, it's ridiculous. Their shooting was unbelievable tonight, especially on the road.
Gee, who kicked our ass tonight? Now that you want to interrupt.
I wanted to pick that Highland dude, but you know, Composite. The Aaron Gordon 2 plays in the fourth quarter. That shit pissed me off. You can't let that dude score. Fuck that guy. That's the lamest dude in the league. I fucking hate that guy. And the fact that Bam let him score twice on him in the fourth quarter, that shit pissed me off. I threw my gin and tonic. I'm so sick of that motherfucker. How dare you do that? Get the fuck out of my city. God damn it. Fucking leave. I thought Dwayne Wade already banished you. Fuck. Christ.
That man, he really like, he said like, he wears number 50 because he feels like he got robbed in a dunk contest. If that ain't the lamest shit ever.
Get out of my life.
So a little bit. Go ahead, Press.
Hmm.
No, go first.
Frankie.
Oh, Frankie, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Gee, real quick, there's no way you threw that gin and tonic. That shit is way too expensive.
I love gin and tonic too much. No, no, no. I threw the ice.
You threw it back, maybe, but no.
He said I threw the ice.
a double gin and tonic at the FTX Arena. That's like $50. Crazy. Yeah,
through the straw.
I'm on a budget.
Yeah, if that's FTX, you got a pregame before you go to a game. Fuck that.
Hey, to G's point, though, you're talking about how can Bam let Aaron Gordon do that to him. So Aaron Gordon got past Bam once in the post. He just kind of out-finessed him a little bit. And then, two, he took him off the dribble. This is not the first game that I've seen. Where is your Max jersey? G, we'll come back to that. But this isn't the first game where I've seen people who we typically think that like Bam would be able and should be able to lock up, kind of maybe not pick at that switch or like call for it, but dudes have not been shying away. Athletic dudes have not been shying away from Bam switching onto them. Anthony Edwards didn't, Aaron Gordon didn't tonight in the fourth. And I think that that might also be something to keep an eye on if that trend continues to happen. Because if we're switching Bam out onto wings and wings are taking that switch and getting past them, then that's an issue. And that just further, like, why are we switching him onto wings?
And part of it.
That car I beat that is following me. So in case anything happens to me, you guys know what happened.
He's gonna say that car stole his Strus jersey that he didn't buy. Where's your Strus jersey?
Nobody's going to believe me, and Chris is my witness. They ran out of jerseys. They have a limit at the lab, and they had reached their max capacity for the night. So Mickey Arison once again reaching out.
Wow.
I will order online. I'm in contact with a Heat store employee. I will be getting my max. I'm going to get the gold number 2, and then the white with the red trim number. Whatever is he? What number is he? I forget.
31.
Whatever.
You gonna have the wrong number.
the gold. I'm getting the gold 3. I know the 1, and then I'm getting the 1 more. Yeah, so it's don't
please
worry.
Misspell your jersey.
I'm ordering.
Yeah, please misspell it.
Oh my god.
Please spell it, Sutras.
Chris, would that
It's going to be Strauss, like the guy from before. He's a million times better than Duncan.
Yes.
How many screws have? Is it one or two?
How many what?
S's?
How many?
Like at the end?
Four.
There's one S.
Yeah.
The one S.
Four Alf. S's.
The one?
Alf.
There's two in the front, one in the middle, one at the end.
That's more S's than
S's. Honestly, please don't get a jersey that starts with SS. Bond, let's go ahead and go to the breakdown.
Oh, shit.
God damn. Not for a white guy.
Oh, well, hold on. Hold up. Let me break it down. So it can forever and consistently be broke.
For today, three offense, one defense. A couple of the offensive sets, they look good. And one, they look like things that we've seen them look like before. Go ahead, Bryce. This one, I think that it is. So, all right, pause. So, Caleb and Max, they've been doing a lot of them two exchanging on the wings and triggering their motion that way. So, you're going to have, you're going to have Caleb coming off a BAM screen. They're going to do a pick and roll. And then Max is going to do some action on the other side. Go ahead. And all right, pause. So it's my bad. It's Max and Bam on that side and then Caleb on this side. So G, to your point about Golden State's offense, these are the times where we look like Golden State's offense, where we have things happening on both sides of the floor. You have Max and Bam doing things. Go ahead. And then you'll have Caleb setting this baseline screen for Duncan. Duncan, you got to knock this down. Yep. They had good action. They had movement happening on both areas. They got a look that they want. He has to put that in. You go to the next one. Again, Gabe and Max at the same time. I'm sorry, pause. Duncan and Max at the same time. Two, theoretical shooters. Gabe, God damn it. Max is going to recognize that he's either being overplayed or that his man is just not paying attention. This is where he gets that backdoor cut. And I think Duncan was going to do like some split action off of him and fly to the top. Go ahead. They don't need to. That's a great recognition for Max. Duncan has done that as of late. He has been taking being overplayed better and just going backdoor. I thought that was good recognition for Max. But then, go ahead, you have plays where they look like this. So, pause. So, Bam is going to get the ball soon. Or no, right now, Bam is just looking for like what is about or what is supposed to be happening. This entire action happens on the right side of the floor. Max is going to like be cut down and he's going to pop off of this Bam screen. Go ahead. Luckily, he has good footwork and they don't just switch this or this isn't a shot. But there's nothing happening on the other side. This is where I get kind of frustrated. Run it one more time, Brass. If Aaron Gordon just switches out on this, like, I forget who it was we played last did, this isn't a shot. And now you're in this offense that has nothing going because there's nothing on the other side. And then the last one, I like when they run zone, pause. I like when they run zone kind of like with this group, with this, three-reticle shooter, great nickname for Duncan. I like the zone when they're active like this. Go ahead, I'm gonna ask you to pause a lot. So pause here. So Max steps up and realizes that he has nobody in that corner, so that wing player is his, keeps his own balance. Go ahead. Caleb on the ball, pause. Gabe comes over. Kyle shaded over to prevent that drive. Dude turned back around. Gabe stepped back up. Go ahead. Caleb, Max. Like, good containment, good energy. This was one of the first possessions that they ran the zone, and they got a really late shot in the shot clock. And I thought this was a good break in kind of what they've been doing. I like when they run the zone, when they're paying attention, and particularly when it's with that group. You can bring me out. The issue is that they are small with that lineup, but they give you good energy. But Miami's offense tends to let itself get one-dimensional more often than I would like it to. And other people not just calling their own number, i.e. Bam, I think has earned enough cachet to call his own number sometimes, doesn't help it be more dynamic.
As far as the zone, and I'll ask all you guys, I'm fine with the zone, right? When you have those, you know, Devin and those four athletic guys out there. But like when Bam came back in and they put Jokic back in, I don't understand the zone in that spot anymore. Because Jokic did what Jokic is gonna do, pick you apart, and then you're gonna have to rebound over Jokic with Bam running to close out on a corner three. Like, and who's left in the middle to rebound over Jokic? Like, you don't even have Keith out there. You don't even have a Jimmy out there who's a good rebounder for his size. Like, you have a bunch of undersized guys. Bam's running out to close out on a corner three. And you have no chance in that spot.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So tonight – oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, get it. Go.
All right, well, so tonight I sort of get it just because – you're going to give up threes, but we got to remember this is the third worst three-point shooting team in the league. And so, in theory, it's fine to go zone against them. They were just making bullshit.
There was a lot of bullshit being made. And I'm okay with, I was okay with it until Jokic came back in, Frankie. That was my problem. Like, Jokic came back in. I expected them to immediately go away from the zone and go back to what they were doing in the third quarter where Bam was stuck to Jokic like glue. And they were chipping away a little bit.
Yeah, because we saw this during the Chicago game too, where they were really showing how weak that top that high post was area was, and that's where Jokic eats. Like, he loves to eat the
high post. Caruso was killing you from that position.
And this is the MVP. Like, what are we doing there? And Jokic can take you off the dribble, can hit the floater, can find anybody who's aware of the ball's gonna come to them. I don't get that, but it's just the adjustment that they made today. They, like Siobhan mentioned, they were a little bit more aware of everything, and I heard this on the broadcast that they were talking about, like, it was more of a matchup zone tonight. They
situation.
Were
really,
yeah.
And then, oh, I was listening to I couldn't get the stream. This is another rant coming. Bally Sports, fuck these guys. God damn it. I can't watch the goddamn game for my goddamn life on my phone, on my laptop, my TV. Fuck Bally Sports. God damn it.
That fucking app is trash, bro.
Ever since they switched over.
Don't even
– gotta just watch it illegal like me. Fuck it.
That's what I mean.
We love our Bally Sports counterparts, though. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Jeremy Tashay.
But, okay, but I just want – like, just get rid of the fucking app if y'all ain't going to fix it. Don't tease me with a fucking app. I go and look on my phone if it say loading the whole fucking time. Like, you know, my shit's still loading right now. Like, get the fuck out
I'd
of
rather
here.
You show me ads. It doesn't even do that. It gives me a black screen and I just can't see shit.
Let me at least see a commercial, for God's sake.
Give me a goddamn free commercial. Like, tease me with that. I can't even trust your visuals because I see nothing.
Shout out to my roommate. We got free G League over here. All right, League Pass. So I don't know what y'all are talking about.
No, I was watching.
I got free league pass too.
Yeah, that's what I had to do. I was watching on the league stream. But the matchup zone worked a lot better, just because the guys aren't slipping through the cracks as much. But over time, you know, an NBA team is going to figure out the zone, and especially when you're doing it against Jokic. You know, like Kenny mentioned, they're the third worst percentage-wise three-point shooting team. But, man, when you give an NBA team open look after open look after open look, those guys are going to hit shots, man. Yeah. I hate
especially Bones Island.
Yeah.
I mean, also, with Jokic, he put up an incredible stat line tonight, Jokic did. Obviously, I mean, he's the reigning MVP. I mean, he's an incredible player. But this was, for as amazing of a game he had, It didn't even look impressive
because of the defenders.
He was getting everything. If I had the same build of him, I could make those fucking layups too.
Absolutely.
You put those people on him. He was covered horribly tonight and just had whatever he wanted.
I saw Gabe on him like three straight possessions. I'm like, what?
And then it was Gabe or Kyle. That, like, honestly, that's where the game was lost. Like, they could have withstood the three-pointers. They could have withstood Duncan's terrible fucking game. Like, honestly, nobody else really had a bad game outside of Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
Everybody else was halfway decent. I mean, KZ was a plus +8 in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
We're gonna need to change the title sequence, all that shit. But nope, they weren't that fucking bad tonight. It was that second quarter where literally, like, Jokic was walking around with Heat guards in his waistband. Like, it made no fucking sense. Like, that's where you lost the fucking game.
And I didn't understand, especially because Deadman was in during that time. I don't know why they didn't just stick Deadman to him.
So just stick to the drop. Why are we having Deadman do these, like, two people on the ball near half court? What
it, is the it works, like, one here? Time, and then they won't go away from it. Like, yes. like Deadman did this shit with the stutter step shuffle. And, like, he caused, like, one turnover. They're like, that's it? That's the defense for the rest of the fucking quarter. And it was, but it was just, it was like elementary school fucking offensive basketball. Like the Nuggets didn't even have to think about it. They must have been laughing to themselves. Like, they still going to keep switching this shit? All right, well, fuck it. And then by the time the third quarter comes around, Compaz was like, fuck it. Like, they not even playing no defense out here. That Campazzo shot, by the way, to end the third quarter.
Talk about it.
Like, it broke me. It, like, it broke things inside me that will never fucking heal, man. Like, it was because I knew he was gonna. Because first of all, he missed the other little push shot runner from the baseline. We brought it back. I think we hit a three. You start feeling good, and like I think they were down. They dropped it to like 14, mm-hmm. and like you 14 going to the fourth quarter. You feel good, and then they trap Bones Highland because you have to. He's motherfucking Bones motherfucking Highland. Like, you have to trap him like three-quarter court because look how he – this is how Bones Highland gets down. So they trapped him three-quarter court. I was like, oh, thank God. They stopped the Bones Highland logo three. And the ball squeaks out, slips through the defense, and it ends up in Campazzo's hands. I said, well, fuck it. Here we go. He he hit that shit. I swear there was 0.9 seconds left on the clock. He shot it from the logo. When it went in, it was 0.6. Like, it was just, it didn't make sense to me. Like, the world stopped for a minute. Like, I'm telling you, there's things inside of me that will never heal because of what Campazzo did. A push shot from fucking 33 feet. And we all knew it was going in. Like, that is the legacy of the random scrub heat killer.
He made the Denzel Valentine shot.
Oh, yeah, that
right.
Fucking Campazzo.
They don't close out quarter bus. You know that shit that Heat Twitter does, like, of course. Like, of course, the shot goes in. That, like, 2 seconds left on the court. That's on them. They don't close out quarter. Like,
Javon, though, come on. This one was wild. That was some bullshit. Like, they just they trapped Bones Highland. Like, and you were like,
why are
okay.
We trapping three-quarter court?
You have to trap Bones Highland three-quarter court. Did you see Bones Highland? And then it slips through. Campazzo gets it at his fucking ankles. Nobody knew he was a player. They thought he was an assistant coach. Honest mistake.
I thought he was a ball boy.
I thought he was cleaning up a spill. And then the motherfucker, he picked up the ball. Like, that's illegal. Oh, shit. It's a Denver Nuggets player.
Same thing.
He literally, he shot it like.
Oh, if the Knicks had any money left after the Kemba signing, they'd be signing Bo Highland next time. I have no idea. I've never even looked at his fucking contract because who cares? He's never going to have another game like this in his fucking career.
Has he ever scored 19 in his life, like, on any level?
Next time he plays the Heat.
He's a rookie. Yeah, he was A-10 player of the year. He just graduated. Like, he's a rookie.
Bones Highland scored 21 points for the month of October.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ, man.
It's always something. Out the Minnesota second quarter, trapping someone absurd on the wing. He just kicked the shit to D-Lo. Bucket. Three. After, like you said, they'll do things, but they trick.
D-Lo.
Yes, I'll give you that. They do, like, they'll chip away, and then they do that, and then, like, all of the momentum that was trying to be built just.
Composite, this guy's never had a good game. Let's leave him wide open all game to practice shots.
Right.
I mean, he looks like he's running a Ponzi scheme outside of his fucking Dodge Charger. Like, that's
Ponzi.
Ponzi.
You said Ponzi. Oh, that's perfect. Crash, you got something for us?
I don't know. Like, I'm a little surprised that no one really brought up Aaron Gordon's hair tonight.
Oh, I felt like G wanted to, but didn't want to come off racist.
Well, whatever. I haven't seen that hair since Justin Guarini, though. Like, look at that. Look at that fucking. Like, Aaron Gordini.
That's rude.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.